second round of peace talks between the government and the rebel army in Sudan is set to begin after the first of the year. The two sides failed to reach an agreement after 5 weeks of negotiations this fall, but they extended a truce until at least the end of March. More than 2 million people have died, and twice as many have been displaced during the long civil war in that African country. Recently, two Sudanese Catholic bishops visited Washington, D.C., seeking U.S. support for the peace talks. Common Ground's Cliff Brockman spoke with Bishop Rudolph Dang and Bishop Parade Taban.
This war is often characterized as the Islamic North versus the Christians and the other traditional religions in the South. Is that how you would explain the conflict, or how would you explain the conflict, Bishop Dang?
It's more complex than that. It's true, groups who live in northern Sudan are people of Islamic religion. But if you look at them closely, you find that they are African peoples. African peoples who, upon waves of people coming from the Arabian Peninsula over the years, have come, married with them locally, and produced a race which is neither African nor neither Arab. So, I mean, to put it, their Islam is against the Christians is oversimplifying it. It's more to do with attitudes. The people in the north have always raided people in the south for ivory, for slaves. That attitude has continued. The other attitude is, of course, that the people in the north in general, they have better economic opportunities, they are better politically aware, so they like to retain political power. When the British left, the political power was left with them, so there is that aspect of they want to keep the political power, they want to retain it. So I think it's religion and economics and race comes in, and they are all intertwined, so that at the end, is power. People want to keep power, to retain power, and they don't want to share power. This is true in the Sudan, this is true in Rwanda, this is true in many parts of Africa. And of course, this brings conflict.
Bishop Taban, would you agree with that?
Really, the motive is invasion of the South and to make it, as someone said, the breadbasket for the Arab world. It is racial also, not only religion. Religion is only being used as a vehicle in order to attract also the Arab world, to attract funds from Islamic fundamentalist countries in the beginning, from Iran, Iraq. And of course, we know Kuwait also had done a lot before the conflict of between Kuwait and Iraq. And Saudi Arabia, of course, and Egypt, Libya, all these are all interested in this area because, as my brother Bishop Dang has said, ivory and now gold, we have oil, all these are the things. They would like to have really the South as their property. They are not interested in the population of the South. They are interested in the land and the minerals which is in the South.
Tell us a little bit more, Bishop Taban, about the oil. How does that play into this conflict?
We know that in the conflict before the oil was being extracted, the extraction of the oil, there was less bombardment because the government didn't have enough money. And now it's getting $2 million a day from oil. So we know that they are buying new weapons, even they are making their own tanks in the country, and ammunition is now being done in the country. They are able to buy MiG planes, and the number of bombarding planes are increasing. And that is why the oil, for us, we say, is a curse, that this company would have waited until there is peace. And if they could suspend this oil until there is, let us say, durable peace and just peace in Sudan, they could come and start getting this oil for the development of the people, not for the genocide.
Speaking of genocide, the Committee on Conscience here at the United States Holocaust Museum has declared a genocide warning in Sudan. Is genocide happening in your country? Bishop Deng?
The Catholic bishops of Eastern Africa have used it when we met, I remember, in Nairobi in 1999. They said, what is happening? The war of the Sudan is assuming truly, truly genocidal proportions. And I think that is expressed adequately. What is, when food is denied to people, what does that mean? When people are systematically thrown out by force of their ancestral lands for no crime except that they are sitting on oil, what description would that amount to? So I think the bishops did not use that term for nothing, yes.
There's been mass starvation, food used as a weapon for the people. Could you tell us about that?
I have no doubt in my mind, way back in 1988, the famous famine of 1998 in the regions of Bahr el-Ghazal were induced principally by men, were induced by the militias of the government. The late General Cherubino with his militias, with his supporters, adopted a scorched earth policy of destruction and of pillaging and burning everything that they found in the countryside with the innocent civil population, thus reducing them to utter abject poverty. They were completely without anything. Something of 100,000 people were threatened there. You can say it was prepared by the drought of the year before, but the deliberate human intervention to evict people and to throw them off their home state and to burn them, to shoot at them, that itself to me was genocide, yes.
There's some concerns the government might use food as a weapon again. Do you think they might?
Under the present conditions, I doubt. There might be elements in the government, but I doubt whether their point of view would prevail.
Peace talks recently began, and there was a ceasefire that began at that same time, and then within 10 minutes, there was a violation of the ceasefire. Do you think this ceasefire is going to hold for the duration of these talks, Bishop Taban?
I think that is the importance of the Sudan Peace Act, which has been signed, that the party now holding peace in Machakos, in Kenya, should not be allowed to go back to war, should be induced to continue, because we know that the Sudan government is not very happy with some of the points which are brought out. And it feels also that it is now powerful, that it can win the war with all the weapons that it has and all the amount or the money that it has. It feels that it is not necessary to have peace talk, because it's going to have victory over the South. And from there, you say, there is no need of peace talk. I've already covered the whole country. Well, that's not true. It's very difficult to win the war in the Sudan. We need support from the international community to pressurize, to see that this peace talk doesn't break again.
Is that what the United States can do? Is that what we should be doing?
That is what I'm asking now from here. I'm sitting in Washington.
Is there anything else the United States should be doing?
Well, we need more support on development, because one word for peace is development. And we want also this development money extended to the church, because if you see in my diocese, we are building bridges, we are building roads, and these are not church things. We are doing social work, which should be done by the government, since there is no actual government in the SPLA area. Most of the development is, I want that the church be included in this money which the U.S. is getting down for the development in the Sudan.
Bishop Deng, what hopes do you hold for these peace talks?
I nurture and hold the hopes of the Sudanese people with whom I work. They offer the best and only chance, really, of a serious negotiations to tackle the basic issues of the conflict and to reach an amicable solution. It's a war that is going to leave scars deep in the psyche of our people for many, many, many years to come, in terms of traumatic experiences, families torn apart, the rape, the slavery aspect of it, the killings, the rupture of life in all its forms. So it's not easy. The healing will take a long time. But it's often the only chance we have had in these last, how many years, 40 years. One can only hope that these succeed. Because 40 years of war is more than enough.
Bishop Taban, do you think peace will finally come?
If all of us, both the Sudanese and the international partners, we put hands together, it is possible. Together we can succeed. It was not South Africa who succeeded to get the apartheid by itself. The walls of Berlin fell not because of the Germans by themselves. The whole world contributed to that. And we talk of globalization, and here is the duty of globalization. When we look at each one dying in Sudan as a brother, as a sister, that's the true meaning of globalization. They call us sometimes toothless barking bulldogs. And if we want teeth, we want you be our teeth. And that is the help that the United States can give us in order to succeed to bring a lasting peace in Sudan. The visit we have done this time was not only political, but it was also pastoral, to connect ourselves with the church in America. As I say sometimes, Jesus would not have reached Calvary if Simon of Cyrene had not twinned with him to carry the cross up to Calvary, to reach there. So we have taken our cross already far enough. Help us to reach to Calvary and to the resurrection, that is, to lasting peace.
Bishop Paride Taban is the head of the Torat Catholic Diocese in southern Sudan. Bishop Rudolf Deng is the leader of the Wa Catholic Diocese in southwestern Sudan. For Common Ground, I'm Cliff Brockman.